Penguin Random House Audio presents A Quantum Life, My Unlikely Journey from the Street to the Stars, by Hakeem Olusheyi, PhD, and Joshua Horowitz. This is the author, Hakeem Olusheyi, PhD. To all who reach for the stars and to those who teach them. I must seek in the stars what was denied to me on Earth. Albert Einstein, in a letter to his secretary and lover, Betty Newman, in 1924. Note to listeners. As I've looked back over my early life, I've come to recognize that when it comes to personal reminiscence, time and space can bend to conform to the demands of the heart. Nonetheless, after consulting with others who were present at many of the events in this story, I've recreated scenes and dialogue to the best of my ability. I have changed the names of some of the characters to disguise their identities. While recreating dialogue, I've chosen not to reprise the form of address my friends and I used daily growing up, calling dudes niggas and girls bitches and hoes. I don't want to normalize self-hate speech for yet another generation of young black men and women. Otherwise, this memoir is my best effort to truthfully tell the story of my coming of age as a young scientist and as a young man. Prologue. Some years back, a magazine profiled my transformation from James Plummer Jr., a nerdy kid from some of America's most deeply scarred urban ghettos, to Hakeem Olusheyi, sole black astrophysicist inside the Science Mission Directorate at NASA. The article ran with the tagline, "The Gangsta Physicist." The handle stuck, and it followed me wherever I went. I understood that it was an eye-catching tag, that it could open doors and young minds that my science degrees alone could not. But over time, I grew to resent it. Gangsta Physicist did not describe the totality of who I was, how far I traveled, or how hard I worked to get there. As a bookish kid, I was an easy target in Watts, Houston's Third Ward, and the Ninth Ward of New Orleans. My gangbanger older cousins taught me the rules of the street by the time I was six. Who you could look at in the eyes and who you couldn't. How to tell if the dude walking toward you was Crip or Blood, friend or foe. I developed the sixth sense, what I thought of as my dark vision, that let me see all the dirt in my hood, where a deal was going down and where the undercover heat was hiding. The scariest time was after sunset, when the predators came out in force. I was intrigued by the wider universe, including the night sky. But I couldn't see many stars from the streets where I grew up, what with the big city lights and the smog. And for the sake of my own survival, I didn't want to be caught staring off into space. Celestial navigation wasn't going to help me find my way home without getting beaten up or shaken down. By my early teens, I'd adopted a thug persona, walking and talking tough, carrying a gun for protection. But I never joined a gang, and no matter how hard I tried to straddle the gangster-nerd divide, I was still mostly a science geek play-acting the thug. Looking back at my boyhood in the 1970s, I see a frightened child who lived like a feral animal, surviving day by day on hustle and hope. I had a different nickname in those days. They called me the Professor, because by the time I was 10 years old, I was reading every book I could get my hands on. If anyone had told me that I'd grow up to be an actual professor at MIT, UC Berkeley, and the University of Cape Town, I wouldn't have believed them. In my hood, that kind of daydreaming was more likely to get you jacked than help you find your next meal or a safe place to sleep indoors. By any odds and most calculations, I should not be here writing this book. But here I am. I've learned that no matter how unlikely, anything you imagine for yourself is within the realm of possibility. It's a proven fact of physics. In quantum mechanics, the most improbable of outcomes is called quantum tunneling. If you try to walk through a wall, in all likelihood, the wall will win. But there's an infinitesimally small probability that you will find a pathway through the wall. My life has been an oscillating pattern of passing through walls, then walking into the next one and bouncing hard in the opposite direction. I'm living proof that our lives are ruled by the laws of quantum rather than deterministic physics. I don't believe in fate, whether written in the stars or anywhere else. I wasn't destined to find a path through the heaviest hoods in America to an elite career in astrophysics. It could have gone either way for me. At any of a dozen junctures in my life, I could have turned left or right. A gun could have gone off in my hand or in someone else's. My youth traversed a multiverse of possibilities. In one universe, James Plummer Jr. got shot during a drug deal gone bad and died in the streets of Jackson, Mississippi. In another, non-parallel universe, he found his way to a PhD physics program, learned to design rocket-launched telescopes that could photograph the sun's invisible light spectrum, and became Professor Hakeem Olusheyi. None of those names, James, Hakeem, Professor, Gangsta Physicist, foretold my journey through the multiverse. But they remind me, like star trails across the night sky, of the limitless possibilities in this quantum life. Washington, D.C., 2021. Part 1. Ghetto Child. If I told you that a flower bloomed in a dark room, would you trust it? Kendrick Lamar, Poetic Justice. Chapter 1. 1971, New Orleans East. I was 4 years old when my family busted apart. What I remember most about that last night together was all the fussing and fighting. When the noise woke us up, my older sister Bridget and I lay in our bed and listened. Bridget, who was 10, held my hand and tried to soothe me back to sleep. But the shouting just got louder. I don't know who started the ruckus. Mama and Daddy were always getting into it about this or that. But that night was meaner than usual. It sounded like either Mama had been stepping out on him, like Daddy said, or else that was a filthy lie, like Mama said. By the time Bridget and I stuck our heads out of our bedroom to look, they'd been hissing and hollering for half an hour. Just then, Mama picked up a heavy glass ashtray full of butts and threw it at Daddy's head. He ducked, and the ashtray hit the wall hard. That's when Daddy punched her. He used to be an amateur boxer, and a pretty good one, according to Aunt Mitty. But I'd never seen Daddy take a swing at Mama. That night, he hit her square across the side of the head. She dropped like a sock puppet. As soon as she went down, Daddy kneeled beside her and started crying and apologizing and petting her up, saying sweetheart this and sweetheart that. But Mama always kept score, and she would always rather get even than make up. Daddy begged her to come to bed, but Mama just turned away from him and shook her head no. Bridget led me to our bedroom and sang me a lazy voice lullaby to lull me back to sleep. Mama had other ideas. Later that night, when Daddy was sleeping, she fetched a can of lighter fluid from the barbecue and sprayed it on her side of the bed. When she touched her Zippo to the mattress, Daddy thought he'd woke up in hell, which I guess he had. When we heard him shrieking, Bridget and I scrambled out into the hall again, just in time to see Daddy dragging the burning mattress into the backyard. We rushed out behind him through the thick cloud of black smoke that filled the house. It must have been warm that evening, because all the neighbors came out onto their back porches in their underwear to watch. Daddy dumped a pot full of water on the mattress and glared around at the folks on their porches. What y'all looking at? We got bed bugs is all. Bridget led me back through the smoky hallway to our bedroom, shaking her head like she couldn't believe she was living in such a crazy house with such crazy folks. Mama stayed on the back porch with her arms crossed, staring at the smoking mattress and sucking on a cool cigarette. The next morning, she told me and Bridget it was time to pack up and clear out. Hurry up now, before your daddy gets home. We didn't have any suitcases, so we filled some plastic garbage bags with clothes and whatever else we could grab out of the house. When we pushed everything that would fit into the trunk of our red Ford Maverick, Mama said, That's enough. I climbed in.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?